Our scripture reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18, and then Ephesians 5, verse 20. This is God's word that we're reading, so let's express our dependence on the Holy Spirit, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to us through his word by praying. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, to guide us into your truth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide us by driving us to our neediness in speaking the Word of God to us as we read it and hear it preached. May you show us, we pray, your truth in vivid and real ways that transform our hearts and our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting at verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living today in very uncertain and fearful times in which things that we've counted on, we can no longer count on, except we can always count on God and his faithfulness, because his faithfulness is true from beginning to end and always will be. But these are uncertain days, and these are fearful days. People are fearful of what is going to happen, as well as what is happening. And how are we to live in uncertain and morally dark times? In all of the suffering and distress and anxiety, people ask, where is God? Well, God is in control. God is moving everything to his purposes. God is not caught by surprise what is happening, because he ordains everything that comes to pass and uses it in the lives of his people for good, to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So in all the moral darkness, where is God? In all the disease and murder and greed and adultery and the breakdown of the family, God is ruling and God is overruling. The Lord is in control. So the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul knew greater than any of us how much suffering there is in life, to be shipwrecked several times, to be beaten with rods and left for dead, to be imprisoned and eventually executed for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes this as one suffering two sufferers, the church of Thessalonica, which if you read chapter 1, they were suffering greatly because of their faith in Christ, suffering from the Roman authorities, suffering from the Jewish leaders who hated Christ, so hated them. But nevertheless, the Apostle Paul writes, give thanks even in these circumstances, because this is God's will for you. So the Apostle Paul had learned peace, stability, and the unchanging love of God, not because of the absence of problems, but because of the addition of trust in the almighty power of God in the midst of those problems. Peace and stability is not the absence of problems. There are always going to be problems. Like Job wrote, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. But what the follower of Christ has that no one else has to handle them is the addition of the power and grace of Jesus Christ in the midst of those problems. So he writes, give thanks in these circumstances. And for the Apostle Paul and for the follower of Christ, thanksgiving is never to be confined to one day of the year, a day constructed by human presidents. It's not that that day is not important, but our entire lives should be every day a season of thanks living to Almighty God. Giving thanks to God for his blessing should be one of the most distinctive marks of the follower of Christ. Nothing turns us into selfish, bitter, self-serving people as an ungrateful heart, and nothing restores the joy of Jesus Christ in our salvation like a heart filled with thanksgiving. So how do we learn to be thankful in dark times? First, realize thanksgiving is an expression of thanks, dependence on God, and it deepens dependence on God. Recognize and practice the dimensions of thanksgiving in verse 18, all circumstances. And three, there's a dynamic power of thanksgiving, and that is the person of Christ in Christ. So first, realize thanksgiving is an expression and it deepens dependence on God. There are no limitations in verse 18 to this bold command. And it's a command. Give thanks in all circumstances. We are commanded to be thankful, which is an act of faith in Almighty God of the will, transformed by the Holy Spirit, and not based on emotional decisions or on if circumstances are going our way. We are to give thanks always, Ephesians 5:20 says. So why? Because God's blessings and God's mercies never cease. Since God's blessings and mercies never cease, our thanksgiving should never cease to the one who has given us these mercies and his faithfulness. Psalm 68:19, the psalmist writes, bless the Lord who loads you or carries you with blessings or benefits, even the God of our salvation. And then there's the phrase next to that verse, Selah, which means think about that. Meditate on it. Pause to stop and consider God's blessing, the way he's loaded you with blessings. Or Lamentations 3:22-23, written when Jerusalem was being destroyed by Babylon, by Jeremiah, who was suffering greatly. And what is his hope when he's suffering so greatly, seeing loved ones put to death by the Babylonians, seeing the temple, seeing the city sacked and looted by pagans. Nevertheless, this I call to mind, and I have hope. Because of the Lord's steadfast mercies, we are not consumed. They are new every morning. When you wake up in the morning, there will be new blessings, new faithfulness there waiting for you because God is faithful. In fact, the fact that you got awake at night after the nighttime of sleep, or if you sleep during the daytime, is a proof of God's faithfulness. It's because God neither slumbers nor sleeps in Psalm 121 that he watches over you while you sleep. And if you get up in the morning, that's a gift of God's grace. Or we could say, if the Lord takes you in the night, that's a gift of God's grace because you will be in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's even better. So the Lord has been faithful to us with a great faithfulness. And so every day should have a generous amount of blessings to the Lord. Our prayers should be mixed with thanksgiving to God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me put it this way. Every prayer should be mixed with thankfulness. If you look up to God for more blessings and don't, as a pattern, thank him for what he has given you, you're acting unbelieving and foolish. If you come to God and say, God, give me this, give me that, give me the other, but never reflect back on all God has given you and what he's done for you, according to Scripture, that's unbelieving and foolish. Ingratitude is a sin. Just as surely as idolatry, immorality, greed, theft, and other sins that are condemned in the Bible. Do you know one of the Bible's indictments against human rebellion in Romans 1, 21 is, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they were unthankful. They were unthankful. If you turn to Romans 1:21, and this hit me this week, because Romans 1:21 is an indictment, God's indictment, not my indictment, not any person's indictment. This is God's indictment on rebellious humanity. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then it says, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them over. And what caught me is that America is under judgment. It's not, it will be. It is. And it has been for some time. What does Romans 1 say? When God blesses you and you worship other aspects of creation rather than God, such as self, such as pleasure, such as humanism, such as all kinds of other aspects of reality, God gives you over to sin, sexual sin, moral sin, and the giving over. Listen, the giving over to it, the act of these sins themselves are the judgment of God. Homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, greed, hating parents, lying, abortion, neglect of the poor. The very fact you're given over to these sins as a culture, you're committing them, is God's judgment. And that is why we need to pray for our nation, and why we need to be salt and light. The only hope for America is Christ. The only hope. But it all flows from an unthankful heart. So as long as we're receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. Now, as you think about your future, remember to thank God and remember to affirm your trust in Almighty God. Even when life may be difficult, we should thank God for all He's given us, which we do not deserve. Grumbling and gratitude are in conflict with one another. If you're grateful to God, you won't grumble. If you're grumbling, you won't be grateful to God. Learn to practice the presence of Jesus Christ through thanksgiving. We need to pray daily, Lord, thank you for your cross of suffering where you bore my sins. Thank you that you were willing to bear the wrath of your Father against my sin so that I might have eternal life. Thank you that I'm no longer a spiritual orphan, but I belong to you. I'm your child. Through faith in Christ, you gave me. Thank you. Because when we thank the Lord for what he has done for us in our great salvation, that deepens and it expresses thanksgiving to the Lord, that shields us from resentment and deepens our joy in God. I love the story about the poet Rudyard Kipling, who at the height of his career was paid 10 shillings per word, and some college students who thought of themselves as writers got very envious of him, and they sent him $10, 10 shillings, with a note and said, here's 10 shillings, Mr. Kipling, send us your best word. And he wrote back, thanks. Thanksgiving to God is a delight to the Lord God Almighty. And when we stop to thank the Lord, we're expressing our dependence on Him. And that delights the heart of God. What about the practicing the dimensions of thanksgiving? Well, the Apostle Paul writes here, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. You know, it's easy to take our loved ones for granted or perhaps complain because they're not meeting our every wish. But we need to give thanks for our spouse. We need to give thanks for our children. We need to give thanks for our relatives. We need to give thanks for our friends. We need to give thanks for those who have touched our life along the way by the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul, we're told, when he was approaching Rome in Acts 28, there were some brothers and sisters in Christ who greeted him as he was approaching Rome. They were strangers, but they wanted to show their support. And the Apostle Paul thanked God for their welcome and was greatly encouraged. Acts 28:15. So let us remember to thank God for those in our lives who he has used to encourage and us, and may we be an encouragement to them. But what about thanksgiving to God for the sufferings and sorrows of life? What about when we don't feel like giving thanks? What about when we have hurts that the Lord Jesus Christ only knows how deep those are? Can you thank him for sorrow? And I can imagine someone saying to me, well, you know, if you knew what I'm going through, you would never preach a sermon like this. Well, listen. Listen. This is God's word. I saw a DHL truck and I thought of this. You know, I am like a DHL delivery man. I'm delivering God's word. This is his word. This is not my word. This is not someone else's word. This is God's word. Give thanks in every situation, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We can give thanks to God in all circumstances. Why? Because God is sovereign over all circumstances. God is sovereign. The greatest proof of that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plans are always good and perfect, and the greatest proof of that is the Lord Jesus Christ saving death on the cross. The most wicked event that ever happened in the history of this world was when evil, wicked men took the perfect Son of God and crucified him on the cross. God providentially designed for that to happen, but those wicked men did it as an act of vengeance and evil. And the cross proves that God's plans are to use the most wicked event in order to accomplish the greatest good. It is through the cross that salvation comes to you and me. It is through Jesus' suffering by wicked men, by the evil of Satan, that God designed for that to happen in order to accomplish the greatest thing that you can ever experience, and that is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the most evil, seemingly evil things in our life, God will work for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Suffering corrects us. God knows when we need to be corrected. And the Lord carries out a correcting ministry in our lives through our suffering. Through suffering, we experience the overruling providence of God. Read Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems to be painful, yet it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who experience it. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:71, I would have gone astray without affliction. What does God do in affliction? Well, one of the things he does, for which we can thank him, is that when we're straying from him, when our hearts are cold towards him, God will forcibly demonstrate his love for us by putting us under the scalpel of suffering in order to dig out from our lives the cancer of coldness towards him, of sinfulness towards him, in order to put us on that vice, to refine us and to strengthen the graces of faithfulness to him, gentleness, love, trust, righteousness. God uses trial to do it. And we can thank God that he does, because it then draws us closer to our God. You are never nearer and closer to God than when you thank him in the midst of suffering. So it not only corrects us, but it deepens our dependence on God. You know, difficulties in life crowd us more into the Lord God's grace. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, of the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul here writes that he rejoiced. He thanks God for his weaknesses, for his difficulties, for his trials, because through them he learned that he needed to rely on the grace of God more. Now, the grace of God, yes, is God's grace at the cross of Christ in Jesus bearing the penalty for our sins. But the grace of God is also, we're told in the New Testament, the power of Jesus Christ that flows from the cross through the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to live for God in every circumstance of our life, including suffering. And the Apostle Paul writes, he thanks God that God demonstrated his love for the Apostle Paul in giving him this thorn, which was more like a stake. That word thorn is a word for stake, in his flesh, so that the Apostle Paul might learn that in and of himself he is weak and he needs to depend on God's grace and strength to serve Jesus Christ. Sometimes God has to get us on our backs before we look up to him. And because of these great revelations, the Apostle Paul was taken into the third heaven and saw sacred revelations, would have been tempted to be proud. But God gave him a thorn to keep him from pride, so that he would be usable to the Lord in the service of the gospel. Thank God for the thorns that he allows that make you usable for the gospel. And he says, 3 times I prayed, and the Lord said, what? He didn't deliver him from it. He delivered him through it. Which was a fabulous testimony to the power of God's grace. So it corrects us, it deepens our trust in the Lord, but it also becomes a confirmation of our witness for Christ. There will be those in our lives, even loved ones, who will taunt us and say, well, the only reason you believe in the Lord is because you haven't had a life of suffering like I have. He's protected you from all kinds of things. And when we go through trial, and when we go through affliction, and when we go through difficulty, Satan's efforts to upend our faith are turned back as we continue to trust God and affirm our faith by being thankful that our sufferings confirm the truth of our testimony to others that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 1:12, Paul from prison writes, I'm thankful I'm in prison. Because it's become a platform for the spreading out of the gospel, because now others are being set free to proclaim the good news of the gospel since I'm in prison. So it becomes a platform for the gospel. And then maturity. Suffering deepens our maturity in Christ. It's a great tool for us growing in the grace of Jesus Christ and Christ-likeness. What is God's ultimate goal for our lives? It's Christ-likeness. It's maturity. And how does maturity happen in our lives? James 1:4 tells us, take joy when you're tested and tried, for the testing of your faith produces endurance. God's goal for us is not health and wealth, ultimate goal. God's ultimate goal for us is to become more like Jesus Christ. And what does maturity do? What is maturity? It's endurance. God matures us through endurance. And what is endurance? It's learning to bear up under pressure. God is perfectly wise in the way he apportions out our trials. God will never give us trials beyond our ability to endure. So the trials we have today, as we bear under them, strengthen our faith, our endurance, our trust, our love, preparing us for trials in the future that would be more difficult today for us, but God is preparing them and equipping us to handle them. So God's goal in all circumstances is to bless us with maturity. And then last, what is the dynamic? He says, he writes, the Apostle Paul, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, or through Christ Jesus for you. Through Christ Jesus for you. In other words, Jesus Christ himself is the power to give thanks. And when we doubt God's love for us, we must thankfully look at the cross of Christ and all that he endured and suffered for us. And we must also look at Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's an elastic band that you can wrap around every single trial and suffering in life. God works some things? No. All things. All things together for good to those who love God. If anyone says, do you mean I need to say that suffering, disease, murder is really a good thing and I want more of it? No. What we're declaring is that God is good and that God is faithful and he sovereignly turns all things for good. The worst situations in life serve the almighty purpose of God. And so Paul writes, in all things give thanks through Christ Jesus. through his saving death, through his sustaining grace, give thanks in all things, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. So we give thanks to God. And we do that because it deepens our thankfulness, our dependence on God. It is a thankfulness that has to be practiced in all situations. And it is a thankfulness that finds its power in Jesus Christ. So as we close this service, and as we seek God in prayer, if you can say with certainty that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, as we pray, thank God that your assurance is based on the fact you're in Christ Jesus. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and don't have a personal relationship with Christ, you can enter into that eternal relationship with Christ by confessing your sin and yielding your life to Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you. Please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we, who by your sovereign grace alone have been brought to see our need for the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your great mercy that we could never earn, we do not deserve. It's given to us because of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And we pray, our Father, that you would strengthen the grace of thankfulness in us. Thankfulness to you because you're our most treasured possession, because you've chosen to make us your own. We pray for any here who have never trusted in Christ. We ask that you would give them the grace to confess their sin to you, to experience your forgiveness, and to yield their lives to you in these moments. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.